There's just something, right? Just before we start, Parak Dalet, I just want to tie up a couple of loose ends from, not actually loose ends, but from the end of Parak Gimel. We spoke about the end of Parak Gimel, the connection between the Dara Mabul and the whole trip of Yonah through the sea to Nineveh. And we explained, in short, we explained that the whole story with Nineveh was in order to be misakin to repair all the damage of the Dara Mabul and the Dara Vlogon. Since then, I found a couple of Gemaras which really just support this idea. I'll just bring one Gemara, and that's a Gemara in Pesachim, which says like this. The Gemara says in Pesachim, "V'omer Rabbi Loza, lo heklo Hakadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael levena umos elo kedushi itosuku aleihem gerim." The point of Hakadosh Baruch Hu putting us in Godless amongst the umos is in order to add on to them gerim, and the it brings Pesachim for this. And the which would fit very nicely with what we've said, because the whole idea was that we said that the whole point of going of Nineveh was hopefully Nineveh would do teshuva, and if Nineveh were to do teshuva, that would force Klal Yisrael into doing teshuva because they can't be they'd be shown off otherwise by the goyim, and then the first base HaMikdash would not have been destroyed. There would have been the final geula, and that would have been it. However, since they didn't do that, they had to go to Babel, Golis Babel, which was in order to be misakin that by going to Babel. Now, that in itself, this Gemara in itself, the Kaddishi Yitosu Aleihem Gerim, suggests that idea. In order to be Mosif Gerim means to be misakin all those people, all those, whatever you want to call it, which went wrong in the time of the Dara Mabul and the Dara Vlog. Because remember, where was the Migdal, where was the tower built? Tower of Babel, it was built in Babel. Where did the Dara Mabul, where did the Mesi Mabul end up? It says Shinor, why is Shinor, Babel called Shinor? That's where they ended up. All the waters and everything went to Babel. It's the lowest lying terrain there. So that's where they all ended up. So therefore, that's where we went into Babel. But I found an even, perhaps, just one layer deeper than that is like this. The Ben Yehoda, that's the Ben Ishchai, he asked, what do you mean, Kadesh Yitzis for Aliyam Gerim, in order to add on Gerim onto them? He said, we don't find many Gerim added on. So he says, rather, Gerim doesn't mean Gerim in the sense of Gerim converts, as we think of it. He says, Gerim, we often find, he brings on, it means Neshomis. He says as a concept that neshamas can be contained within, I'll explain this what this means, it's not as hard as it sounds. There can be neshamas inside the plants and in the land or whatever, and then the idea of going there was to bring them back. It sounds very up in the mystical, and but it's not quite as hard as it sounds. And that's like this, that it brought to mind something my great-grandfather, Rav Noach Segal, he wrote in Parashas Chayisara. The Medrash says on the Pasuk Vayokom, I think Vayokom Asoda, that the field literally arose to Avraham. And the Medrash says, because it went from Bnei Ephron, Bnei Ches, to Avraham. So it rose in its status. So he explains what it means is like this. He says that if a person lives a life of Torah ideals, so therefore when he dies, what's going to happen is his neshama, his body will go down to the ground, and his neshama will, since his neshama was attached to something infinite, something eternal, so therefore it will continue to stay in that status, and it will continue attached to this eternal thing of Torah. He says, however, if a person lives a life completely void of Torah, he lives a life which is lamoshal, just working the ground in the figurative and the literal sense, then that's where his neshama will end up. Right? And he brings this idea back down from the Baal Levush Yisrod in a sefer called Arve Nachal, that this is the idea that when if a person puts his seichel and his whole life is into the ground and whatever it is, that's where his neshama would end up. But if a tzaddik comes along, he can retrieve that neshama. That's what he says. And he says, this is exactly what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, a famous Rambam in his Hakdamot Pirush HaMishnayos, where he says, you get a person who works and plants and plants vineyards and all sorts of orchards and everything. He says, the reason for that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got a master plan, and many generations down the line, a tzaddik will come along and he'll take shade there. So Rav Noach asks, well, if that's the case, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it much simpler? I'm sure Hashem could, you know, instead of making all these intricate plans, there's a much simpler way of doing it. If you want to give shade to the tzaddik, he says, the answer is no, it's a chesed. Because Hashem knows that this person, sadly, his neshama is going to be forlorn, it's going to be lost. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he arranges it in such a way, like a bit like the Havdil Yisachar Zevulun relationship. So too, how Yitzchak dreamed of Yaakov and Esau being a relationship, they say. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it for it that the neshama will be put into the whatever he plants here. So when the tzaddik comes on, he takes shade under it, he'll be able to raise it up. And he brings it to Arizal, this idea as well. But he says, but the big question is, but still, so why does the tzaddik have to suffer? Why does he have to wander from place to place in order to bring back these neshamas? So he brings a Gemara in Brachas, which says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, his Talmidim came in, and he started crying, and they said to him, why are you crying? So he said, because I'm on a path now, I'm going to, and he makes the whole Kabbal Chaim, he says, if I was going in front of a king of flesh and blood, I'd be all worried, and etc., etc. And then he finally finishes off, and he says, V'oid, and furthermore, there's two paths in front of me. I'm at a crossroads in life. There's Gehenna and Gan Eden. He says, I don't know which one I'm going to go on. So he asked, that's exactly what he just said before that. What's the V'oid? So he says, the Rif and the Ein Yaakov asked the question. And he says, the answer is, because sometimes even a tzaddik has to go through Gehenna in order to retrieve Neshamas. Why? He says, the answer, this brings, I think, from the base Aaron. He brings the idea is because if a, this is a very, very powerful message. He says if a person, a tzaddik, has a thought to do an aveiro, that causes a rosha to do an aveiro b'peil in action. Right? We find it the opposite way around. Rabbi Shaul Salanta says when a yid learns the daf of Gomorrah, I think in Paris, it sort of the effects of it causes somebody to be chayzer with tshuva in some other, or not to do a certain chet, some on the other side of the world, right? So you have it the other way around. If a tzaddik has even a machshava of a chet, it can cause somebody. So he says, therefore, he's responsible. And that's why. And he brings the pasuk. I think this is an idea. He brings the pasuk. He says, "Begavas rosha yidlakoni," bits me up, because of the gaiva of a rosha, right? Because of his chatoim yidlakoni, the oni, the poor man, the tzaddik has to be burnt ayin gehenim. Finishes off the pasuk and then bimzimos zuchashavu, right? Bimzimos loshna machshavas kasha zomam, as he planned. It's because of the machshavas of the tzaddik. That's why the oni has to be burnt again. He has to go and retrieve that neshama. So he explains, that's basically the idea with Avram. Not necessarily Avram had bad machshavas, but the idea you already see that when Avram went, what does it mean the field arose? It means the neshamas within the field, he brought those back up, and that's what it means by Yochanan Asada. And he says that's why Sarah, although they lived in Be'er Shavash, she was buried in Maros HaMachpeda for this reason. Fine, that's that. Using that idea, this is exactly when Yehuda is writing very, very bekitzib, he's writing exactly the same idea. That's what Mishnah Tosfos Aleihem gave him. Had Yonah got them to do Teshuvah, Nineveh to do Teshuvah, then as we said, Nineveh would have done Teshuvah, the Yidden would have then been forced to do Teshuvah, and that would have been it. The final good of May, I'm suggesting that it would have finally come. But they didn't. Why didn't they do Teshuvah? The answer is, on the one hand, you've got Yonah and a few Mazari Gossi, he didn't want them to do Teshuvah. He had machshavas otherwise. And on the other hand, you got Klal Yisrael, because we were responsible, I don't know if it was just machshavas, but because of our actions, that stopped Nineveh doing proper teshuvah. And therefore, as we explained, since Nineveh did not do proper teshuvah, after 120 years, they were wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, we said, was a Gilgal of who? Nimrod. Right? We said Ashur, who was the founder of Nineveh, he ran away from Nimrod, from the Tower of Babel, and he founded Nineveh. Many, many years later, Sancheirib came along to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They got their first warning. That was after 40 years from this story, that Abarbanel says. And the armies of Sancheirib were wiped out. A further 80 years later, Abarbanel learns that Nebuchadnezzar came along, the Gilgal of Nimrod. He came along, wiped out Nineveh. And what happened the next year? Kibosh Yehoyakim. That was the start. The Gemara says Megillah. The next year, second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, was the start of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was sort of that set everything in motion. So you see this very definite pattern. And Be'emes, the other Gemara which I wanted to bring was the Gemara, actually it's Gemara in Chagiga, also in Pesachim, which says that Hashem said to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Adam Elekerevi, I'm going to raise myself up off the ground, I'm going to Adam Elekerevi. And what did Hashem say? He addressed him, Rosha, Ben Benosha, Lesa, Rosha, Ay Nimrod, Shehimrod, Eskola Elam Kulai. So Tosfos asked, they weren't related. One was from Kush, well, he says they weren't necessarily related. How do you know they're related? So he says they did the same sort of Maisa. But if he this is a Seyda Adarish, I don't know where he brings it from, it's very good. Nebuchadnezzar was a Gilgal of Nimrod. That's what it means, Ben Menashe Lo Sarosha. And he did exactly the same. Nimrod, he built a tower of Babel. He wanted, in the as Rashi brings, he said, why should Hashem be in the Adonim and I should be in the Tachtonim? I'm not having any of that. Exactly the same Nebuchadnezzar did. He said, Adam and the Keredi, and I'm going to raise my. Exactly the same thing. So in short, that's basically the idea. That's the perhaps a deeper idea in the running through the whole story of Yonah is to be misakin the chet and in fact because it didn't work, that's why we had to go to Bovel, which the Gemara also says because it's like Sheol. There's a further Gemara just a bit further down. It says, why did Hashem bring us to Bovel? Menisha amuka kish'ol. And we said already that Yonah, he referred to, he says that I mishporecho v'ganecho alai avoru, which we said that means Gehenna, right? The Mefarshim say that means Gehenna. I underwent Gehenna on earth, and that's why Hashem sustained him in order to keep him alive. So you've got exactly this, but because it didn't come to fruition in the end. Ninveh didn't do proper teshuva. All they did was they returned the stolen articles, they returned the cholmos. Therefore, 120 years from then, exactly at Derma, but they were also given 120 years. We said that's everything started going downhill, and they ended up having to go to Babel. Let's just close up the loose ends there. So it's going into Perek Dalet.
As you said, I think you're saying that Ninveh did not do proper teshuva. It's been interesting.
Yeah,
I've obviously missed it from previous weeks, but
because it says Vayinochem, it says last possible Perek Gimel, Vayarikim es Maaseim.
Yeah,
and in fact, it says all they returned was to the Chomos. And the Abba Ben Alshita, this is based on his thing. I'm adding more than he says, but he's bothered by the fact. Where do you see the Kiyum of the Nevuah of Yonah? So the Malbim says the obvious answer. Who says there had to be a Kiyum? It was given out tonight with a condition. If you don't do teshuva, but they did. The Brahman doesn't take that one, and therefore he says after Hanukkah, it says Oda Arboim Yom. It says Yom is Shana. Oda is Gematria 80. Arboim is 40. That's 120 years. You're going to be destroyed. Got in, and we said Ninveh Ne'er Pochet will be overturned, and that's what happens. He says the Malbim questions it, and the Malbim says you can say the same. If you don't have to go so far, you can say Oda Arboim Yom. He's 40 years, that was not clear, it was 40 years later. He questions the calculation, that we explained that was why it's split into Oed and Arboim, is because there's two different, there was the first date was 40 years, and then it's written very precisely, because it was 40 days, if they didn't do Teshuvah. Then there was 120 years, if they did do Teshuvah, they got everything right, which is exactly like the, we said about the Derem Abel, originally they were given 120 years, everything was in the future, Emcha, and this is leading into where we're going to start in Perek Dalet. I'll just end off with this thing. That it says, the end of Parshas Bereishis, it says, Emches Adam, after 120 years, I'm going to wipe out man. Everything there is written Yudke Vovke, Midas Harachmin. Because Hashem was Erech HaPayim, he was giving them 120 years. The beginning of Parshas Noach, it says, everything is written Elikim. Take a look at the beginning of Parshas Noach, all changes to Elikim. And the Pasuk says, Kitz called Bosor, Bor Lefonai. Not Yovel Lefonai. It's come, either present or at least past, present, whatever, right? Bor Lefonai. It's come in front of me. Why? What's the continuation of the Pasuk? Because of the stealing, that's it. Everything changes in Mitzhadin. Everything is. Hashem's not going to retract it. He's still going to give them 120 years. But it's the whole sort of avira, the whole atmosphere is din. It's as if it's already happened. I'm not looking at. If they do teshuvah, fine. Well, then we can reconsider. Why? As Rashi says and Rambam discusses, because once they're stealing, Hashem says that's the chasimas gedar din. Everything changes once they're stealing, right? And we explained how Rabbi Yerucham explains the Rabbi Yerucham Lelovitz explains the Ramban, because that's a change of teva. A person is born to sell Avodah Zorah. You can say, what's wrong with selling Avodah Zorah? I believe in Hashem. But also, the son's got certain. Hashem gave his certain kodesh. Immorality. What's the problem with immorality? What, to marry one's sister? Why is, couldn't there be a bigger chesed? It's a loss in the posse. Chesed. What's wrong with that? Right. Even let's say husbands and wives. If they all agree, they want to have. Well, what's wrong with that? Right. We think of it as disgusting, but that's because of the way we've been brought up. What's wrong with that? Whereas when it comes to stealing, a person knows it's wrong to steal. I'm not saying he doesn't have a tiber for it, but a person is, anyone who grows up in any, that's what Rabbi Yerucham says. So Hashem said, if that's the case, I'm not. Then that's it. Once you break teva, I'm also going to break teva. That's after the Malbim we said at the end there. So therefore, that was the pattern there. Now if you look, therefore, everything in the end of everything in Perek Gimel, written in connection with Ninveh, is written Elikim, because there was Chomos. Now they return the Chomos. Take a look at how we start to Perek Dalet. Vayira, and we'll see, it's all going to be Hashem at the beginning. So Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Vayira El Yonah Ra'a Gedolah. And Yonah, it was literally very bad. It was a big bad thing for Yonah, which Rashi says, because he was upset. He says, now everyone's going to say, I'm a Novi Sheker. I'm a false Novi. So Vayichal El Efe, he got all angry. That's one pshat. The Malbim says, B'shem Da'a Ba'a Manah, he says a slightly different pshat. He says he got all upset because he said that I thought that you're not going to retract the Gezerah unless they do proper teshuvah. And as we said, they didn't do proper teshuvah. They just returned the stolen article. They still served Avodah Zarah. So he says, I understand from that obviously you obviously want them to, you want to keep them alive in order to use them, as we said right at the beginning of the Megillah, the Sefer, is in order to use them as your staff to punish Klal Yisrael. I don't want a hand in that. Look at what I've caused. So therefore, Yichalo, he got all upset. That's why it was very bad for him, because he says, look what I've caused. And number two, Yichalo, he got all upset, he got angry, he said, I don't understand, it's not fair they're also the Avodah Zarah. Why should they? Why are they any better than Klal Yisrael? So they've returned the stolen articles. So Klal Yisrael are serving Avodah Zarah. They're also serving Avodah Zarah. So what's the difference? So that's the Pshat of the Malbim. The Pshat of the Ashkel, which is the one we're going to be carrying through mainly to the end of the parak, is that he says that it's Vayirah Adi Enar Agadol. He was upset with Hashem. Yeah? Because he says, why are you doing this? Right? But Vayichar, he was angry with himself for having times against Hashem. He says, I can't help it. I love Klal Yisrael so much. Why are you doing this to Klal Yisrael? But Vayichar, he was upset with himself having times with Hashem. So he continues into Pasuk base. Vayispaled al Hashem, and he davened to Hashem. Vayimar, and he said, again, note that's al Hashem now. Everything's going to be al Hashem. Yud Kevav, okay? Vayimar, and he said, Ono Hashem, this Hashem, Haloi zeh devori, was this not my word at the Hirsi al-Ad Mosi, while I was still on my land, while I was still in Eretz Yisrael? In other words, I knew already at that time, that if they were to do teshuva, then you won't destroy them. So isn't that what I said? That because of that I'll be a Novi Sheker, Al Kain, therefore, Kidamti Liberach Tarshish, that's why I proceeded to escape to Tarshish. Right? That's one pshat. The other pshat, which is the Al-Shuk's pshat, goes like this, continuing with his idea. He says, I already knew at that time you didn't really want to destroy them. And with the smallest excuse possible, you'd save them. Right? That's why I went to Tarshish. Because if I knew that they were going to do proper teshuva, I say, then Harizem Shuvah. Of course I'd want a hand in that. To bring people to the recognition of Hashem, why not? But since this is a half teshuva, and it's they're not doing proper teshuva, and it's going to harm Klal Yisrael, I don't want a hand in that. That's why I escaped to Tarshish. And that's the Loshon Al-Kin Kidamti. If you remember back to, where was it in? Perek Aleph. It was Perek Aleph. We explained Al-Pi the Al-Shef. We said that it's also there. It says that he went early. I think it says he went early. It was the Loshon of the Posse there. Right. I think it says, did not say that early there. It says, maybe it's not on the Loshon there. Yeah, see, he says there that he went straight away before night. Same Loshon here. Kidamti, that's why I went before night. Because he was afraid. Night was the time for Chalomis. And I would bring the second Nevuah. Therefore, Al-Kin, Kidamti, Liberav, Tarshisha. Then he continues. Ki Odati, because I knew, Ki Ato, Kel, Chanun, Verachum, that you are a gracious and a merciful God. I'm not going to go into what each of these, we know this from the Yigam Verachum. I just want to pick out one. Erech HaPayim. Why did he say that? Very good. Because we said at the end of Perikyot, the end of Perikim or Posikyot, by Yinochem Ho'elekim. And we said at the time, wherever it says by Yinochem Ho'elekim, you always find it does not mean Hashem retracted. It means Hashem said, I will give you I'll give you more time. With the Dara Mabul. It says that by Yinochem, Hashem reconsidered Adam. It doesn't mean he wiped out Adam then. Hashem said, I've got to reconsider. And he wiped out most of them and he left thereafter. We find by the Egel, it says by Yinochem Ho'elekim al Rasha de Belas Islam. It doesn't mean he forgave them. Over the next 40 years, then he wiped them out, those who were guilty, between 20 and 60. Right? So you find this idea, so too here, based on this Arba Benel, that Hashem gave them Erech HaPayim. He says, I'll give you 120 years, but it does not mean I'm going to forget it. I'll just let them go completely. That's the Erech HaPayim. For Rav Chesed and abundance in Chesed, v'nechom al hora'o. And he reconsidered on the bad which was them. Which again, you'll notice, Loshen Omar, v'nechom is Loshen in the past. Because like the Malcolm said, I knew right from the start that you were looking for an excuse. You were ready right from the start, you didn't really want to destroy them. And if all you needed was a slightest excuse, therefore it was Binichom, you're ready in the past, you'd already reconsidered the evil. Posuk Gimel, V'ato Hashem, and now Hashem, again Midas Rachamim, Kach Noes Nafshi Mimeni, please Hashem, take my soul now from me. Right? In other words, what's it mean now, V'ato Hashem? So the Malbim says, now that I can see you're just going to use them to punish Klal Yisrael, I'd rather, right before that happens, I can't bear to see that. So therefore, please take my soul from me because I was the cause of this, therefore I can't bear to stay here. Why? He says a further tainan. He says it's better for me to die than to live. If I die now, I'll die at least a tzaddik. I've done a partial teshuva at least. I feel bad for having tainan on Hashem. So I'll die with an ishika of Hashem. Whereas if I continue to live, it can only go downhill. It can only get worse. He says, therefore it's better for me to die now as at least a partial, but he viewed himself as a partial Baal Teshuva. Let me at least die now. That's the Peshat of the Al-Shuk. Whereas, we're just going to continue for a couple of Pesukim, this idea of Rashi. How does it fit according to Rashi? Presumably, you have to say, according to Rashi, he's saying, because Rashi said this whole time it was, everyone's going to say I'm a novi shaker. He says, if I live, I have to live out the rest of my life with a major busha, a major embarrassment. Everyone's going to be looking at me and saying, you're the novi shaker, novi shaker. If I die, I'll live with great COVID. I'm going to come out to Shemayim. They're going to say, yeah, this is the person who kept the Devar Hashem, despite the fact that he didn't want to do it, but he still went because that was the Devar Hashem. And it's better for me to die. Let me die and live with COVID, live close to Hashem, rather than having to live a life of embarrassment. That would be the Chor according to Rashi. That's how you'd have to explain the post.
Strange to say that he should be so bothered about what his reputation on earth is.
Yeah. It could be because he's worried about the Chor of Hashem, of course. Mm-hmm. And since we're only in this world to be Mekadesh Shem Hashem, therefore he said, it's better for me to die. Again, his whole life was one of self-sacrifice according to this. He was prepared, the Medrash says he's prepared to die for the sake of God. So maybe this was again continuing that pattern. So Pasuk Dalet, Vayema Hashem, and Hashem said, point out again, with the Tzarachamim, Vayema Hashem, Hashem said, Hahiti b'chor aloch. Now the Pasuk Pshat is, that's a question, right? It's right there at the beginning there, it's a question. He's saying, the way the Malbim explains it is like this, that if Hashem gives a nevuah to a novi, and it's something good, it's good tidings, then Hashem will never retract it. Even if the person becomes a rosha, Hashem won't retract it. Whereas if it's bad, as we said, Malbim, there's Tosfos and Yevamos which speaks about this, if it's bad nevuah, impending punishment, and that's, if the person does teshuvah, then it won't come to fruition. So Hashem says, and this is the pshat of Rashi, that hayitev chor aloch, are you getting angry over a good nevuah that I'm retracting? Why do you think they're going to call you a novi sheker? It was a bad nevuah you were given. You were given a nevuah of punishment. Do you think they're going to complain and say you're a novi sheker? They all know that was given al tanaim condition. If you do teshuvah, then it will be retracted. So they've done teshuvah. So it's been retracted. So well, what are you getting all worried about? They're going to call you a novi sheker? Hayitev chor aloch. Are you getting angry over a good nevuah? It was a bad nevuah. Whereas the Al-Sheikh says that it's very interesting. He says it's not a question. It's a statement. Ha'itiv Chorolov. Hashem comforted him. He says, you're saying to me the previous pasuk, it's better for me to die, because look at me, I'm a partial Baal Teshuva. Hashem said, no, you're a full Baal Teshuva. Ha'itiv Chorolov. The very fact that by pasuk Aleph, by Yicharlo, that you're angry with yourself having tainus on Hashem, that in itself is the biggest Teshuva. That's the regret. That is a full Teshuva. Ha'itiv Chorolov. It's very good that you've got angry with yourself. Now, I've got a couple of proofs of this you can add to this. It's not a question. One of them I found in the Yalkut Miyam Lurz. But the Yalkut Miyam Lurz I found, he says this, that you don't find Yonah answering this question. Look at the next passage, doesn't he answer the question? Now, you may just say, okay, so it was a bit of a rhetorical question. It's not true. You'll find exactly the same Loshon later on, where Hayitib Chora Lechob. Possible test, and he does answer the question then. And there's definitely a question. The other difference you'll notice there is lecho, here it's loch. Right? The reason for that is, I think, I'd like to suggest, because over here it's a statement. Hashem is saying you've done teshuvah, it's good. And loch, therefore, is feminine. You've been machnia yourself. You've subdued yourself. That's what it means, chor loch. You made yourself, right? We have in Parashat Eschanan, at Rashi says there that Moshe says, you know, he's become weak like an akeva. So to hear, chor aloch, when a person does teshuva, he's machnia himself, he becomes weak like an akeva. That's what Hashem says. You be machnia yourself, you're angry with yourself, you're saying, I'm not going to go against Hashem, but I'm angry with myself. Hayitev chor aloch. So it's a couple of indications that seems to be the pshat.
Let's take the posh pshat. Posh pshat in loch. It's a puzzle form.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like Hashem gets on the same loch, it was the end of the pasuk in the middle, it's lecho.
Yeah.
So it's the end, that's
Okay, so pasuk hey, Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir, and Yonah went out from the city, Vayishav mekedem lo'ir, and he sat to the east of the city. Now, the reason for this is because it was the end of the, it was the last of the 40 days now, and Yonah was desperate that the punishment should come on the 40th day. And therefore he was still adamant it should come, therefore he went to the east of the city, because on the east there's a wind there which is a very, very hot and dry wind, which blows, and therefore it makes a person, it's very, it says that's why Chazal say, if a person wants to open a tannery, if any of you are thinking about opening a tannery, do it to the east of the city. So the putrid smell doesn't come into the city, Chazal say. Right? So therefore it says that he sat to the east of the city because he wanted to make himself a tzar, so that Hashem would then have rachmonis on him and see how much it hurts him, and Hashem would hopefully punish Nimbe. Right? That was his intention. Vayasle Shom Sukkah, and he made for himself a sukkah there. Why? to give himself a bit of protection. It wouldn't, as we'll see, he didn't give him proper protection, just to ease it a bit. Vayishav tachteh batzel, and he sat underneath it in the shade, implying that not the whole sukkah had shade. There were parts of it which had shade. We'll see in the next pasuk how he explains it, and Avram explains it. That he sat underneath it in the shady part of the sukkah. Ad asher yireh, until he would see ma yehiyeh bo'ir. In other words, until he would see what would be in the city. In other words, it was the 40th day. He only had to build a sukkah, which was, it was a flimsy little hut, which would only last till the end of that night.
Right.
Till evening. That's one pshat. The other pshat is, I think the Alshech says this. The Malbim says that. So that I think is the Alshech. The Malbim says that it goes like this. He sat under the tzel, ad asher yireh ma yehiyeh bo'ir. He says, whenever Hashem makes a gezeirah, even if he retracts the gezeirah, it never happens without there being a roshem. There's some everlasting mark which has to be left there, just as a remembrance. Like with he says with the Maiso Ego, he says Vayinochem Hashem reconsidered, but there was a magifa nonetheless, right? So therefore he wanted to see Mayabai. What would be this roshem? That's the way the Malbim says. What would be the roshem, the everlasting mark left there? So pasuk vav, Vayiman Hashem Elokim Kikayim, and Hashem Elokim he prepared the Kikayim. Now, first thing is, why is Hashem Elokim? I'd like to suggest because the plant, this idea of the Kikoyim had two elements in it. Primarily, at this point at least, it was all Midas HaRachamim. It was in order to save him from sin, as we'll see, and in order to give him shade. But ultimately, Hashem actually, his ulterior motive was actually Midas HaDin. He's going to then cut it down straight after that and cause Yen a lot of pain, in order to bring home the message, which we'll see. Therefore, there was a dual purpose, if you want. At this point, it was primarily Hashem. There was Elokim. In brackets, there's a bit of Midas HaDin injected into it, as we'll see. Right? Vayiman Hashem Elokim Kikoyim. Now, what is this Kikoyim? That's a very good question. Rashi just says that it's an Esev Gol, it's some sort of big herb, big plant, which grows. It's got very long branches. The Mitzvah Asiyah adds that it has very big and wide leaves, which ultimately is to provide shade. The Ibn Ezra says, the Chachmei Sefarad, they say it's some sort of delas, some sort of gourd. But the Ibn Ezra says himself, he says, we don't really need to know what it is. It's something to give shade. The Gemara in Shabbos says, and in Bezos Hashem, at the end of the shir, if we have time, we're going to try and explain a bit of the significance. What is the Kikoyim? What was the whole idea behind it? But just, we'll explain this Gemara Bezos Hashem as well, that the Gemara says in Shabbos, it was this tree, whatever, which grows in marsh. That's number one. Number two is similar to a plant called a tzluliva, which the Aruch says is a min ilon sirak. It's a non-fruit bearing tree. And they put it over the shop entrances in order to give shade. Another thing is that from the seeds you can crush and make oil. And the last thing is the Gemara. Yeah, that's what the Gemara is doing. Shem and kek. One of the pins there says it says kikoyim. Kikoyim
diyeno.
And
seed tree then.
That's how it's all translated. So, the cholim, and also the last thing is that cholim, the ill people take a shade underneath it to make themselves better. That's how we, for the moment at least, we can classify this tree. So the pasuk continues, Vayal mi'al l'yona, and it went up above Yona, l'hiyos k'tzel al rosh, in order to give shade on his head. Now the Malbim, I think it is, says, because as we said, the sukkah didn't provide proper shade. And therefore, what does it mean, what shade did it give? The answer is, the walls, we find the Gemara Sukkah speaks about the cell of the Zephonis. The walls gave shade. So therefore, in the morning, when the sun rose in the east, he sat by the eastern wall. In the evening, when the sun set, he sat by the western wall. What about in the middle of the day, when the sun's right overhead? He didn't have protection. That's this possible. That's why Hashem made the Kikoyim grow. Lihiyos tzel al roshe. It's very Maduik in the pasuk. In order to give shade al roshe directly on top of his head. Right? Because in the morning he would be coming in at an angle. It wouldn't be al roshe necessarily. Here it's al roshe. And number two, the al shech I think says, lehatzil lo mira also, was also in order to save him from his ra. He said, vayira elyona, was the questions he had against Hashem. Now, I may well add here that there's going to be two stages in this plan. Plan sort of stage one and stage two. Right, it's two-pronged defensive Hashem's going to do here. There's a temporary message to him. He's going to give him a temporary respite from his times against Hashem. And then there's going to be the final message, where it's the last pasuk, where he's going to give him the outlook on life, how to view this whole thing. But that was the idea of the Kikoyim growing. Two things, to give him shade, and also, right, Ruchnius protection, and Gashmius I should say the other way around. Gashmis is the shade, and the ruchnius is the same from the special against Hashem. Vayismach Yehuno, and Yehuno rejoiced. That's because now he had shade. Alaki koyin simcha gedola. That's how I think the Malbim breaks it up. The Alshach says this, that he breaks out the Yehuno rejoiced over the shade, and number two, he had a great rejoicing over the kikoyin itself. Because he says, like somebody walks out into their orchard, into their field, and they see all the plants have grown out of the ordinary, they've grown so quickly, so it's natural for a person to get all excited. So that's what it means. Ala kikoyin, he got all excited over the kikoyin. And says Alshach, and this gave him the temporary respite from his tiredness, because now he was all busy, he was all excited, so he didn't have time to start questioning Hashem. It sort of took it off his mind. So that was the initial thing. The other pshat, the Malbim says, is that he just says one thing. Right? He got all excited because he says, why is Hashem making this grow? Obviously, he sees there's something big is going to happen tonight in Nineveh. So he got all excited. But that excitement was short-lived, because we see in Pasuk Zion, by Yaman Ho Elikim. Now it changes to Midas Hadin, as I said. Hashem Elikim, now it goes to Elikim. Now Hashem comes in with Midas Hadin. By Yaman Ho Elikim, Teilas, and Hashem prepared a Teilas, a small earth one, which Hashem will touch on at the end as well. Ba'aleis HaShachar, with the arrival of dawn break, Lamochoros, the next day, Ba'tachis HaKikoyon Vayibosh, and it smote the Kikoyon, right, the Malbim says, right at the roots, right? By Yibosh, and it dried up. The point of this was, the last part of Alpid Alshach was in order to get him all upset now, right? And then what's going to happen is he's going to then have time against Hashem as well again, and therefore we're going to start stage number two, which is to show him the correct outlook for the rest of life, and that's how we continue to Pasuk Ches. By here it was Kizreah Hashemesh, when the sun was rising up in the morning. Vayiman Elikim, and Hashem prepared, came in the Sadin, Ruach Kodim, this eastern wind, Harishis. Now, whichever way you look at it, whatever pshat you take, Harishis means a very, very hot and painful wind. The Gemara in Gibson says, because when it blows, all other winds are, it's Meshatekes, all the other winds. They're all bottom. They've got no power against this wind. The Malbim, interestingly enough, says apparently it's a very, very loud wind, and therefore it's Machareshes as far as nine. It deafens the ears. And the Alshach just, he says it's something, it's a wind. It's also the same idea, but he says it's a very hot, but you can't feel the wind. There's no breeze or whatever. That's what means Harish, it's sort of quiet. You can't feel the wind. They all point to the same idea. Hashem's putting him in pain now. Batach Hashemesh al Rosh Yehuno. Now again, the Malbim doesn't say it here, but I think that goes back to what we said beforehand. The Sukkah provided him protection in the morning and the evening, but not when it was al Rosh Yehuno, when it was directly on top. Batach Hashemesh al Rosh Yehuno, and the sun literally hit down on the head of Yehuno, causing him pain. Vayish alof, and he fell into a state of he fainted. Vayish al esnaf shelomus, and he asked his soul to die. The Alshach says, because that's the way of tzaddikim. The soul, the nefesh, doesn't want to leave the tzaddik. Because he says, you're doing so many Torah mitzvahs, I'm loving it here, right? I don't want to leave. So Yehuno said, but please, look, I've already fainted. I'm not doing Torah mitzvahs now. Please, let's die. Because Vayemi said, Tov Mesi Mechaya, it's better for me to die, it's better for you even if I die than if I live. Because at least if I die now, I'm not going to I may do more Torah mitzvahs, but I'm also going to accumulate many more avodos. It's better for me to die at this point. So, Pasuk Tes.
Is there any mention of the repeated use of Vayeman back in Perek Beis and now three times here?
In Perek Beis, there is Vayeman, because it didn't come straight away. It was like the Refuah Kedon Amako. Hashem prepared the fish, but then he then punished Yehuno with all the waves suffering. And as it was already prepared, some say Meshesheshim Evereshes. But here haven't seen
him. He was in the water a while before the fish.
Yeah, Hashem had already prepared the fish. The fish was already waiting there, and then he threw him into the water. Then the waters came crashing down, and the fish was already waiting. Hashem had it all mapped out.
Yeah.
Sort of like the idea of, I think, Refuah Kedon Amako. I haven't seen anyone who discusses it here, but it could be there's something along the same
connection between them.
It could be the same ideas. Hashem had this whole thing was mapped out right from the start. He was all building up. Hashem was already prepared beforehand, before each stage was Hashem, like with my separation, everything was created, and then he brought it out stage by stage. Maybe. I haven't seen anyone discuss it here, though.
What does this tell us about Yehuda himself? He's been punished for the fish. He comes out, he goes to Nineveh, he gets shot out in Nineveh. And here he is, he's arguing with Hashem.
No, yeah, but this time it's different. This time he's saying it's my natural love for Klal Yisrael.
Yeah,
he says, Vayichad, he was upset with himself. He says, what can I do? I have a natural love for Klal Yisrael, and therefore I can't bear to see Klal Yisrael suffering. Vayichad, therefore he was upset with himself, he was angry with himself having such time. It's his inbuilt nature.
You understand, you can't pray for your own demise. You're there here to serve Hashem. You're doing something.
Yeah, but he says, I can't do it anymore. He says, I'm like the Ben Sereber, it's better for me to die now. I'd rather die as a tzaddik. I can't, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mechini no Masimcha, they bring it down. The answer brings that one down. Moshe Rabbeinu said the same thing. If you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, I'd rather die now. I can't bear to see Klal Yisrael. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, I love Klal Yisrael so much, I can't bear to see it.
So he hasn't changed very much from the time that he went to Tarshish.
No, because there he ran away the same thing as his Klal. He took very drastic action. He went to Nineveh. He says, I'm following you, Hashem. I've given the message to Nineveh, but I still have tinus. I can't get rid of my inbuilt love.
So he hasn't changed very much.
He has changed. He has. Because now, Vayichad, he's upset with himself. And that's why it's full to Shulam. That's what the Hashem says. He's done Shulam. Hashem accepted Shulam. And that's what he's going to show him. It's going to continue with that. Pasuk test. Vayemer ekim el Yona. Again, Midasadin. Hashem said to Yona, Hahitiv chora lecho. Okay, so here, Enochanami, you're right, it's not pausal this time, but nonetheless, it still fits, even without the thing of pausal, this time it's not nothing to do with teshuva, it's a question. There's two very similar pshat, and the Malbim says, is it good that you're getting all upset, all angry over kikoyen? Just that it's a tree. What are you getting so upset about? Where my Yemen, he said, yes, it's very good that I'm getting angry until the point of death. I'm dying from fever. That's the posh pshat. I'm dying from this heat of the sun directly in my head. What do you want? Of course I'm getting, I should get angry. I should get upset. The Al-Sheikh says, he says, besides the fact that you're suffering from the heat, but is it good that you're getting angry over the kikoyin itself? Then Hashem realized he was upset over the kikoyin itself. Besides the kikoyin, you only got all excited, according to Al-Sheikh, for two reasons. Number one, the shape, but number two, the kikoyin itself, the way it grew so quickly. And now, parallel to that, he gets upset. Number one, because of the shade he's lost, but number two, the loss of the kikoyin. So Hashem says, why? Why? So he said, Rayim, and he said, yes, hitiv chora li ad moves. Because look what's happened now. Now, I don't have all this simcha, and therefore now I'm having time against you, Hashem, so it's better for me to die again. That's why I'm saying it's better for me to die. I'd rather die as a tzaddik again, exactly the same pattern. So now Hashem comes in with the crunch. Hashem comes in with the final message, the last two psukim. Posekiyot. Vayomer Hashem, now it changes back to Midasar Rachamim. Hashem's going to show him his Rachamim on Nineveh. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Atov chasto ala kikoyim. You have had pity on the kikoyim. Right? Now the Malbim says, the Loshon of chasto, choseh, he says different to Rachim, Rachmonus, and Chomel. He says choseh means when you have pity on somebody because it's got uses for you. Ulterior motives. But not because you've worked through it. He says, you've taken pity on the kikoyin, ashela omaltabo, despite the fact that you haven't worked for it, but ogidalta, and you haven't made it grow. In other words, as Rashi says, you haven't had to plow the ground, you haven't had to water it, you haven't had to sow the seed, right? And it hasn't got major work to you. And shebin laido hayo bin laido avot, which Rashi basically says is a way of saying that it's gone in one night. Right? It was one night, and we'll spin it on the Loshon Bin, hopefully. Bin Laila Avod, and it's gone over the next night as well. Right? So, in other words, why are you getting so upset? So, right, something which doesn't have any mamash, it's got no worth. What are you getting so upset about? So, what happened? Pasuk Yudalev. And by the way, just, I forgot to say, that's the chasta. What's your personal benefit from it? It gives you shade, or it protects you from sin. So what did Hashem say? Hashem said, I've got to give out the Kav Chaymeh. Pasuk Yudalev. The Ani and I, Leochus on Nineveh, do you not think I should take pity on Nineveh? Dehainu, the fact that I created it, is my own Maisa Yodai. Number two is Ha'ir HaGadol, it's got great worth to me. It's not just a tree. This is a great city which was foundationed on Ashur, a big tzaddik, in his own right, he ran away from Nineveh, from Nimrod. And number three is Ashi Yishbah Harbi Mishatem Esri River. And Achanami, there's people serving Abu Dazor, but there's many more, there's more than 120,000. More than 120,000. Yeah, correct. 120,000. Yeah. Odom people, Asher Yodabi Yimino Lismelo, who don't know the difference between his right and his left. Which the Malbim says, Yimin means referring to the service of Hashem. Mimini Balamit brings a couple of sukkim. And this Moedim is service of Mazalis and Teva, he says that's all the concern. They're Tinek Shanishpot, you know, because, right, they, what do you want of them? You think I should destroy them because of that? Ubehemo Rabo, and they've got many animals there. The other Peshat, Rashi says that Odom Asheri Yalabi Nimina Dismoedim means Ketanim. In other words, if the Gedolim have sinned, or the people who do know the difference, what have the Ketanim done to deserve being destroyed? What about the behemoths? What about the animals? Why should they be destroyed? The last pshat in that is that the Rashi says on Ubehim or Rabbi, he says it refers to Gedolim, who are like, because he says Ashali Yadam in Minasmodim means Ketanim, and Ubehim or Rabbi means the Gedolim, who are like behemoths. They don't know their creator. Right? So what do you want me to do for them? And contained within this was an answer to his question. Why are you punishing Klal Yisrael? The answer is because they do know better. You want to know why didn't they any better? Why are they being saved? The answer is they don't know any better. Klal Yisrael do know better. And therefore, that's why I'm sending this message to them. But ultimately contained, well, just the benefit of, if you can't stay for the last bit, is just the basic idea is, how did he sort of give him the final message? What's the outlook in life? The answer just because, I'm going to just expand on this for the last few minutes, but is the basic idea is that he's saying that through Nineveh doing teshuva, he's going to make Klal Yisrael do teshuva. And therefore, this is for the good of Klal Yisrael. The punishment of Klal Yisrael is because I love them. Right? I'm making them suffer because I'm going to force them to do teshuva. If Nineveh do teshuva, they will force Klal Yisrael to teshuva, whether it's because of the oppression they're going to give them. Ultimately, it will bring Klal Yisrael to do teshuva. That will bring them to the final goal. It's not a question, do I love Nineveh more or Klal Yisrael? That's the basic idea which he's trying to convey over there. What I'm going to do now, this is the last part, just to explain this the significance of the Kikoyim. Or try and explain an idea in the Kikoyim. For this, we just need three akdamas, right? Three short akdamas. The first one is to explain the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara quotes earlier. What's the significance that it grows in marshy waters? It grows by the, when they put it over the shot. I think the answer is one word. It represents Matan Torah. Why? Matan Torah, the pasuk says, Ki rekav tov nasati lachem. It was a sail. Hashem, the Gemara says in Brachos, like Mocha Otzev, Hashem sold us the Torah. That's the Chanos, right? The Gemara says it grows, they put it over the entrance to the shops. That's the Chanos. We're told by Chazal that at Matan Torah, all the Chaylim, all the ill people were made better. That's the idea. The Gemara says that people would take shade under this tree, the Kikoyim. Right? Next stage is that it grows on marshy land. What's the idea in that? So for that, we refer back to what we said in Perek Beis. We said that when Yonah was inside the fish, he saw through the two eyes, they were like windows, Hashem showed him Kriyas Yamsuf. We said, what's the significance of that? And we said, Kriyas Yamsuf is that Klal Yisrael went Besod Chayom Bayabosha. They went in the waters on dry land. And we explained the idea being that dry land is Olam Haba, and waters is Olam Hazeh. It's a voyage. And we explained that a person can take the voyage through this world on dry land. When a person, if a Rahman is on, the people would have to go through Gehenna. That's the dog. Vilna Gaon says that's the fish. Is Gehenna. They'll look back in this world and say, why did I make my life so hard? I was going through the stormy waters. Hashem says through the Torah, if you take your journey through this life, I'll be the Torah. Everything you do is I'll be the Torah. Your business is I'll be the Torah. Your learning, everything is I'll be the Torah. Everything fits within the framework of Torah. Then you can go through this world. You can take the easy path. You won't have to go through the storms and the shaking, or whatever you want to call it, the storms through the street in the sea. You could take the easy path on the dry land, the life of Olam Haba in this world. How? Through the Torah. Next thing is that Torah is oil. Why oil? Because oil rises above the waters. It doesn't mix with the water and it rises above. That's clearly shown the destination that we know this from Hanukkah. Right? We are Vivdilon and Mikado Amin. Right? We are raised, we are Hashem's chosen people, we are raised and there's a Havdalah between us and the nations. That doesn't mean we don't interact with them, that's something else. But ultimately there's a Havdalah. And finally, what's the idea in the Ilan Tzarak? Why is it similar to this Ilan Tzarak, to this non-fruit bearing tree? I think the answer could be, there's a couple of possibilities, but one possibility is, because people think, sometimes people say to themselves, look, what am I, right? I have a what they call a locking cop, I think they call it, right? I've got a muddled brain sort of thing. I don't have the cop for learning. I'm not clever. I've not got this. But I'm not going to eat on Sarai. I can't bear fruit. Everything I tried, Hashem says no. If you follow the Derech HaTorah, you can take the oil and you can light it. What do you do with oil? You make a light. You may be an Elon Seraph, you can light up a world. How? You can, I don't know, you can set up these amazing chesed organizations. There's so much you can do in the world, it doesn't have to be in learning. If you're, so to speak, not cut out for learning, there's many things you can do. There's other things you can learn, whatever it is, you can light up a world, you can brighten. That's the, another message. The other message in it is that, based on the answer to the Gemara and the Ksubas, is that also lobe, even the non-fruit-bearing trees are going to bear fruit. And the idea in that is, even those people who sadly have never seen the beauty of Torah, either through the fault of their, or very many, perhaps the majority, through the, not their own fault, right? Tinek Shanishba, right? Who've never been shown the beauty of Torah, and they hate us for that. They hate the Haredim and all that, the people who do learn Torah. Le'os Lava, the Gemara says, they will also, you think they're going to be lost? No. It says, Le'os Lava, even they, it's based on the Gemara, the second writing is of Bob and Tzia, even they will join in the Simcha in the future. Right, they will bear fruit as well. They will see the beauty of Torah. So, al-Kopana, what I'm trying to share from this is one idea: the Kikayon represents Matan Torah. It's the Chuppah. It was outside the shop, by the entrance to the shop. We went into the shop under the Chuppah to buy the Torah. By buying the Torah, Hashem was kind to us. We became Hashem's people. We became His wife. That was the idea of Matan Torah. So it's the Chuppah. The next Hakdom we need is just going back a couple of days is to Tisha B'Av. Is the Gemara says in Gittin, it relates a story with, it says, Asaka Derispa Choriv Beitar. Because of the wheel of a chariot, Beitar was destroyed. And the Gemara tells the story that the Bas Keza, the daughter of the Keza, she was going along in a chariot one time, and she went through Beitar. Now in Beitar they had a very beautiful custom that when a boy was born, they would plant a cedar tree. And when a girl was born, they planted a Ternisa, which Rashi seems to translate as a pine tree. But the mice, either way, whatever it is, it's definitely it's another form of cedar tree. It seems to be a female cedar tree. Apparently it's a male and a female. And the idea was that what they would do is, many years later, when a boy and a girl would get married, so they'd cut down these two trees, each of their trees, and they'd make a chuppah from it. Right? So the daughter of the Kaiser, she came through, and the wheel broke of her chariot. So they went and cut down one of the trees. So the Jews were absolutely infuriated. So they pounced upon the Romans, and they attacked them. So word got back to the Kaiser, and he came along and he destroyed Beitar. There's an obvious question. I mean, you read this Gemara, what were the Jews thinking? Did they obviously not realize what danger they were putting themselves in over a tree? Same thing as Hashem asked you, what are you getting so excited about a tree? Right? The answer is, what's the answer? So I think the answer is, just what would one add on to that is the Maharal. The Maharal explains that the whole point of a ben and bus, yeah? He says the ben comes from a lashon of binyan. Bus, he says, Zohar, is also binyan. It also comes from binyan. He said the word bito, the moshul, will always have a dogish in the top. Why? Because dogish always symbolizes a missing letter there. That's the missing nun. It's binto. It's really binto. Right? Either way, he says it comes from binyan. We'll have to take his word for it if we don't understand the grammar. But that's what he says, right? It's a binyan. Why? Because they build on the ideals of the parents. The parents set the foundation, they build on ideals. So when the parents would have a child, what do? To symbolize, they wanted that an era, a cedar tree is a very, very strong tree. It's always very strong. So what they would do is they would plant a cedar tree, as if to say, I want you to sprout like a cedar tree, to be strong and healthy, whether in Avodas Hashem, physically, whatever it is, you should be a Netiach HaZokah. And likewise, when they got married, also it should be build a bias name, will be so, it should be a strong house, therefore they built a top of the thing. And that's why Beitar was a very, very strong town, apparently. But what happened? Hashem sent along the Bas Keza. Dafka the Bas Keza, apparently the Bas is more than a Ben, symbolizes more than a Ben, apparently the Binyan, to destroy their Binyan, and they cut down the tree. That's what he says. The point I want us to take from that is like this. The first piece of Middash, and the second piece of Middash for that matter, what were the walls built from?
Stone.
Stone and? Cedar. They had three rows of stone. No, it says, in the walls, three rows of stone and one row. Take a look at the second one row of stone. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses it that when, I think it was Koresh, when he built the second, he allowed them to build the second Beis HaMikdash, his kavanos weren't Hashem Shemayim, because it says Shlomo HaMelech, when he built it, there were three rows of stone and one row of cedar. Whereas when Koresh built it, he did three rows of cedar and one row of stone, because he thought, if they rebel against me, I'll burn it down. Right? Now, Hurdus later on, he came along and vamped it up and everything. But what's the idea? It's also exactly the same thing. The Beis HaMikdash was our chuppah. Right? The Beis HaMikdash was our chuppah. We were going to get married to Hashem. We were waiting and waiting and waiting for the time of Moshiach, and we'll get married to Hashem once again. Yeah? Now what comes along is the Romans come along and they destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They were destroying our chuppah. when they came along and they cut down this tree, it wasn't just that they were cutting down a tree of a boy or a girl. The Yidden understood that this was to symbolize the beginning of the end. This was the cutting down of the chuppah with Hashem. And therefore they couldn't stand idly by. This, their pain was bent up inside them. That was how they vented their anger on the, and they pounced upon them. The repercussions or not, sometimes a person acts without thinking the repercussions. They're destroying our chuppah with Hashem. So they pounced on them.
It's interesting you say this about the timber and the stone. This question arose, who was giving the shiur and the rock? Talk about the walls of the base of Mikdash. When the Romans destroyed, they burnt it on Tishah B'Av, and after it was burning, but the walls were still standing, but some had collapsed. You understand, if there's timber amongst a stone, and stone on top of it, it's, the timber will char and burn, and the stone will collapse.
Right.
So the walls weren't wholly standing, they didn't come in. And why should they use timber and stone? And maybe it's to give a vulnerability
The Gemara Baba Basra describes the whole way that he built it. It was like the waves of the sea. It gave it beauty. I mean, that was part of it. I don't know if that was the seed that added to that. I don't know. But the truth is, according to this, we understand why there were seeds in it. Because it was the chuppah. Exactly the same thing as the seed that symbolizes the chuppah. But the third hakdama is, this is the third and final hakdama before we just close up, is that is just a very quick sort of briefing on the Yom Noraim. Just the pattern of the Yom Noraim. You have Rosh Hashanah with Yom Kippur. You come to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, Hashem cleanses us. Become completely and utterly clean. Then what do? We go into the sukkah. The sukkah is the rishus of Hashem. We go into His palace. We're now clean. We can go into His palace. We're still visitors. So what happens? We come to Shmini Atzeres. Now Shmini Atzeres is a very big kasha. One parashat Pinchas Rashi says that come Shmini Atzeres, and Hashem says it's very, very hard. Kosha lipnei dasam. It's very hard for you to leave me. So make for me one last sukkah. Suli siudah katan. Just between me. What's pshat in that? So you stay an extra day. Then what's going to happen? Then you leave it after that. So you've got closer. So it'll be even harder to depart. What was Hashem doing here? There's a second question, and that is that the Yonis of Menitziel says that when we leave the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, we leave it bechevasa. I can't remember the exact name of bechevasa. Rabbah's on the earth. Great, great joy. What's the great joy? We're leaving his palace now, so why is there a great joy? Can you imagine you've gone into the king's palace, now you're having to leave? Right? What's the great joy? It's like coming back from holidays, have to go back to work. Right? What's the great joy in that, right? So the answers are this. This is a very posh to answer. That all that we've come into the palace, right, and we're getting closer and closer to Hashem. What do we do over the 7 days of Pesach? We offer up the Purim. There's 70 Purim all in all, and they correspond to the 70 nations of the world. So each day the Purim goes down, right? So we're getting closer and closer to Hashem. By the seventh day, eight Purim at the end. Either way, you haven't made it. You haven't become one with Hashem. So Hashem says, if you leave now, there'll be a praetor. You're like the person who leaves the palace. If you wait for Shmini Atzeres, that's just between me and you. It's got nothing to do with the Goyim. It's between you and me. That's husband and wife. That's the day. Atzeres is the Loshon of like Shavuos. It's also called Atzeres. Atzeres is the Loshon of ingathering. It's when we marry Hashem. That's Simchas Torah. We marry Hashem. And if you marry Hashem, then there's no parade. That's the great Simcha. Because when we leave the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, we're not leaving Hashem behind. We're taking Hashem with us. You can have a husband who lives in Australia and a wife who lives in England. They're still one. They're still husband and wife. There's no parade of them. Because they're still, ultimately, they're one. They're bound by marriage. Right? And that's the great Simcha. Let's follow this through now into this parak. Yonah comes along to him and he says, you've got 40 days to do teshuvah. The MS, it was also 40 days for him to do teshuvah. Right? He also, as we said, by Yichayro, he was upset with himself. And Hashem said, Hayitim Chololot. Very good, you've succeeded in doing teshuvah. That was Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 40 days. Hashem said, you're clean, you've done your teshuvah now. You ran away from me, now you've done your teshuvah. So what did Yonah do? Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir, vayas v'shom sukkah. He went into the sukkah. He went into the rishus of Hashem. Same pattern. But then what happens? Hashem comes along and vayiman Hashem elikim ki koyoyim. That was the chuppah. That's Shmini Atzeres. So what does it say? Vayismach Yonah abba ki koyon simcha gedolah. Agree, it's exactly the same lashon as the Yonah Menizel says it in Aramaic, but right? Also simcha gedolah, because now that you'll never depart from Hashem. So what did Hashem then do? Then Hashem sends along a telah, a small earthworm. What's the idea in an earthworm? So there's a medrash in Tazria which says if a person is meritorious, then he precedes creation. Whereas if he's not meritorious, even the earthworm, even the Yitzhak Shapiru, I can't remember the Lashon he uses for the earthworm there, but it says that even they will have preceded you. So again, my great-grandfather, Ibn Afsagad, he asked, mind to have a hava? Right? You've got a guy who's a Rosha. So what do you say to him? Even the small earthworm precedes you. He does the Shuman, he becomes the God al-Adam. So what are you going to say now? Suddenly, now you precede the creation. How can you change the order? He says, number two, what's one got to do with the other anyway? So he explains, because he says, because man is comprised of a body and a soul. And there's obviously a conflict there. So if a person is meritorious, yeah, then it says, if finally his body becomes subordinate to his neshama, and then it says, if he's only got a neshama, well, the neshama is vayipach. Right, what does that, it says, Hashem blew in a, it's a chelik of Hashem. Hashem was here before creation. Whereas if a person is a Rosha, then what happens? His neshama becomes subordinate to, because he says, this idea already from Rabbi Chaim Ozer Gurevitz, he says, that's the whole idea in Kel, they were very particular on tidiness, orderliness. Why? Because if the clothes are slung here, everything, that indicates there's a conflict. Right? It's like when you split the atom, there's a release of energy. Right? That's why the human being, he says, walks on two, whereas the animal walks on all four. Because in an animal, he's only got pulled down to earth, whereas with the human being, there's something pulling down to earth, and then a shaman pulling him upwards, so therefore he walks on two legs. Apparently, I'll say it somewhere. So, he said, you can have it the other way around as well. You may ask, what about the Nazis, Mashal? They were very orderly. He says, answer, yeah, very good. Any chelek aleki they had in them was completely bottle and mavutal, 100 times over to their animal-like behavior. They were a complete, behaved like absolute behemoths. So therefore, that's what happens. So, what happens then? So Hashem says, oh, you want to be an animal? Well, when was the animal part of the human being created? Erev Shabbos. After all the animals, even the small earthworm precedes you. That's what Hashem is showing you in over here. If you're not meritorious, then even the small earthworm can uproot your chuppah with Hashem. Anything can uproot your chuppah with Hashem. Right? Your connection with Hashem goes. What's the connection with Hashem? It's the neshama. The neshama is the chilik of Hashem. So either way, so what happens? Hashem uproots you and it gets all upset. Understandably, we can understand now why. But Hashem, so to speak, plays the game with him. He says, well, what are you so upset about? Right? So he says, it's better for me to die. If I've lost my connection with Hashem, it's better for me to die. So now Hashem comes in with the crunch. And Hashem says, exactly. You get all upset over what? Over a bin liner? What's the Lashon bin? Binyan. A binyan, a chuppah, which is you didn't even work for. I come along one morning, you wake up, and oh, Gavaldi, there's a kikai in there. Right? And you expect me to forego my relationship with Hashem I've been waiting how many years for? I've been waiting for Klal Yisrael to do Teshuvah through Golas Mitzrayim, and then with the Egel, I thought we'd made it. They served the Egel, right? Matan Torah. Egel back down. I've been waiting years and years and years, and we're on the verge of securing that chuppah, the Erez, the cedar inside the walls. It's all there. I'm waiting for it. All I need is one last thing now. What's that? For them to do Teshuvah. If Nineveh do Teshuvah, then we could say in one of two ways. If Nineveh did Teshuvah, Klal Yisrael will be forced to do Teshuvah. Either through that, or by Nineveh inflicting suffering on Klal Yisrael, they'll do Teshuvah. Ultimately, what's the point is, as we said, the idea was to be misakin all the way back to Darah Vlaga, Darah Mabel, and back to finally be misakin the Chet of Adam HaRishon, be back in Gan Eden walking with Hashem under the Chuppah. And Hashem says, you want me to forsake that at this stage? I can't do that. You get all upset over a chuppah which was built in one day. This is a relationship I've been working on for years and years and years. I can't do that. Ashur, why am I so concerned about Ashur? Sorry about Nineveh, because they had a very righteous forefather, Ashur. So their children have gone off the derech. So too, Klal Yisrael is exactly the same. We had the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sadly, we haven't followed in their footsteps in the same way. Hashem says, I'm waiting for them to come back. What's the lesson? The lesson we can take from this whole story, this final parak. Is imagine you've got a chuppah, which is the time on the invitation says 3 o'clock. So we're all yakas, we go along, 3 o'clock, and we're all waiting there. The chuppah's there, the chos is standing under the chuppah, the guests all waiting. No, so what are we waiting for? Waiting for the kadam. Where is she? 5 past 3, 10 past 3, 3:30, 4:15, comes 4 o'clock, the kadam is still nowhere in sight. Somebody says, we've discovered where the kadam is. Where is she? She's down at the burger shop eating burgers and playing cards, right? What do you mean? The chassid goes purple, goes red. He gets all embarrassed. He wants the earth to swallow him up, right? He says, "Sorry, I've just got to be excused." He quickly, quickly makes a detour, runs off down the road to the burger shop. He barges in and he says, "What are you doing?" She's sitting there playing cards, or whatever. She says, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I was really hungry. I just had to have a burger, you know." And then, I'm really
as well.
Come down later. If she can do that, she also
is there, surely.
So she said, "You know what? I'm actually really tired as well. Can you just give me a couple of hours? I'm coming. Tell the guests I'm coming. I'll be there in a couple of hours." This sounds like the most ridiculous story, right? It can never actually happen, right? I mean, it's a nice story that Emma says it's happened, and it's a lot more embarrassing than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said nothing. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in fire, and Hashem says, "I'm going to build the Beis HaMikdash again in fire." And whether it's already been created or it's for Hashem, there's no difference. So it will be created. It's as good as created, right? The chuppah is there. The chosan is standing on the chuppah. Who is the chosan? Hashem. The malachim are standing around it, and they're all looking at their watches and saying, "Who? What are we waiting for?" Hashem destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash in what year? 3:8. This is a correction from the women's shir. Your wife would have heard it on the way. It's a mistake. I think I said that 3:8:8:8. That was because my notes happened to say 3:8:2:8. 3:8:2:8. Which means, so what was the time of the chuppah then? Well, Yom Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. That is 1,000 years from then makes it 4:8:2:8, right? So that means the chuppah was scheduled for the year 4:8:2:8. Godot should have been only 1,000 years. We said in Rus, I think it was 1,335, whatever it was. But should have been 1,000 years. What year are we now? 941 years too late. And that's according to our reckoning of the calendar. There is some who say we're about 80 years out as well, which we're even closer to Moshiach. Right? But either way, we're at least 941 years too late. So don't you think that's a bit of an embarrassment? So I've got the Malachim is standing around, what's going on? The Malachim are the honored guests, so what's going on? So somebody says, we've gone to look for the Kali. You know where she is? She's in the burger shop. She's indulging in Olam Hazeh. They're too connected in Olam Hazeh to come to the Chuppah. They love you, Hashem, but they can't. They're too busy. And you think this is ridiculous, but the truth is this is the Matthias. Hashem, what does Hashem do? Hashem comes on Rosh Hashanah. He goes looking for us. He says, "Malachim, just one second. I've just got to be excused. Kaviyachim, right? I've just got to leave for a second, right? Where does he go? Comes to us. That's Rosh Hashanah. Hashem comes right up to us and he bangs on the door. Now these are psukim in Shir Hashirim. It says in Shir Hashirim, "Ani yesheinu, I'm sleeping, but if be ever my heart's awake. Kol deyidofik pischili, the voice of my beloved is banging on the door. Open up to me. Achrisi rayosi yonosi." That's Yono, by the way. Yonosi samosi. Oh, so what does the guy say? What do we say? Oh. Why are you doing this to me, Tasha? I've already got into pajamas. I can't put it back on. I've already washed my feet. Nebuch, this guy. I can't get them dirty. Oh, come on. Right? Hashem doesn't give up. He puts his hand through the... Right? Hashem comes off his peering through. He looks through the keyhole and says, Anyone there? So what do you do? He says, I homo a lot. Right? But the way we explain this is that I have rachmonis for Hashem. He said, "Oh, Nebuch, I have such rachmonis. I can't bear to see the pain of Hashem." So come to Yanyu Lifterchlet. And the way I'm explaining this is not necessarily up here. Rashi, Rishon HaTradon explains the psukim about this sort of idea. He says, the bushel we've got here, right? The chutzpah which we've got. The guy gets up and he goes to the door and he eventually opens the door. And what's happened? Hashem's gone. Right? This is it. This is exactly it. We are sleeping. We're in Olam Hazeh. So now, what's the message? The message is we entered the month of Av, right? The first night of the Shir was to the women. It was before that we were hoping that Tisha B'Av would be a Yom Tov, not a fast day. It wasn't to be. But Av, they say Av stands for Elul Bo, Aleph Beis, Elul Bo. Elul is on the way. Ooh, hopefully on holiday. I hope everyone's on holiday. Enjoys their holiday. But during holiday, it also gives us a bit of time to think. What can we do? What can we do to prepare for Elul, right? And if we do that, then Be'ezus Hashem, this year we won't enter our flimsy or not flimsy huts. The sukkahs will enter the sukkah shel Yosson. When it comes to the chasira, we won't be dancing over the Torah that we love, but sadly we don't keep as well as we should. Be'ezus Hashem will enter the true chuppah, the third bias, where we'll become one one with the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and next time the Shir won't be here, it'll be in Eretz Yisrael, and you won't have to listen to me babbling on, you'll be able to listen to Moshiach or Moshe Rabbeinu, Be'ez Hashem, and here will be Amen. Amen.